You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would please, to the Gospel of John and chapter 10. And as we have sought in these times together to consider the wonderful person of God as he reveals himself in very many different ways. And one of those ways is by way of his names, God, three little letters, and it would take eternity and words without end to describe and explain G-O-D. So, in the light of that, God, he has unfolded, given his wonderful character, essence, being, throughout history, time and again, and he's done so on given occasions whereby it would be helpful immediately to the when he did it, and helpful all the way down the line to us when he did it. We are the beneficiaries of that, of his doing, that he helps us understand who he is. So here in our little listing going through them, in John chapter 10, and picking up, please, you remember the chapter 10 has to do with the Lord being the shepherd. And as you read chapter 10 and in verse 7, Jesus said unto them again, "Verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And," I'll read verse 8, "all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door," verse 9, "by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." And so you have in verse 7 and in verse 9, that he's the door. In order to get into the other side of the room, to the other side of something, you've got to go through the door. Can't get through, obviously, if there's a wall, it isn't wide open. And in order to get there, you have to go through a door. Therefore, it's all blocked except for the door. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I'm the only way to get to the G-O-D, God. And thus, God, here you are in your awesome infiniteness, and here we are. So how are we going to get to you? Well, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the door." And thus, not only am I the door, but I am also, if you would, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." I not only am the door, but where the sheep can go, but I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, verse 11, giveth his life for the sheep. So I'm the good shepherd, and we're going to look at that. And also, if I may, in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and am known of mine." So I know the sheep know me, I am the shepherd. Sheep desperately must have a shepherd. Sheep cannot survive without a shepherd. Some animals can, but not sheep. Sheep have to have a shepherd. And thus, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the door, and I am the good shepherd." I am. I'm the one that's able to go and get you not only through the door, but in verse 9 again, I can get you through the door as the shepherd. And I'm able to go, and when you go through the door, the sheep, what you have to be cared for, that's right. And I am going to bring you through the door. I'm going to shepherd you through the door. And you're going to have pasture. Shepherd, feeding, pasture. They're all connected. The word's connected. So now, having said that, and keeping in mind I'm the one that cares, well, I'm the shepherd. Shepherd has to do with feeding, caring for, nourishing. And so now, over if you would to John 6, if for a moment. And in John chapter 6, picking up in verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life, and as you keep reading, I am the living bread. So I'm not only the bread of life, I'm the life-giving bread. I am the water of life. And he will say, I am the living water. I give you living water. I'm the water of life. I give you living bread. I'm the bread of life. I am the shepherd. I lead you into pastures, ever so tender, green, and the right kind in the right way. So now, God, having said that, and reminding us that you are the shepherd, and sheep have to have a shepherd. And we know from 1 Peter 3:18 that God, your whole purpose, is you sent yourself in your Son to what? To bring us to you, to bring us to God. That's the whole purpose, to bring us to God. So you came to get us to God. Now, having said that, and remember that here we are on planet Earth, and the world system has separated from God because of sin, and God saves sinners, and God saves them. God isn't trying to save the system. The system is condemned. God is saving the whosoever's in the system that believe, and in doing so, they become strangers and pilgrims. The earth world system is not their home. It's not the established place for them to spend eternity. It's not the thing for God. God doesn't want that. The world system is against him. Therefore, God takes us out of the world system, leaving us in the world system as a stranger and as pilgrims moving through time in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and remember to feed, to nourish, to take care of the flock, to supply all the needs of the flock, to protect the flock, to provide for the flock, to preserve the flock. And thus, over a few, if I have to turn there, why not? Genesis chapter 46. Genesis 46. Now remember, you're looking at the shepherd, word shepherd, to feed, to pasture, to nourish, take care of. And shepherds. And you know that Cain and Abel, Cain was a keeper of the field, and Abel was a keeper, there's the word. Genesis 4:2, a keeper. That means he's a shepherd. Someone who keeps the flock, guards the flock, cares for the flock, a feeder of the flock. That's what Abel did. Abel took care of the flock. God had a wonderful garden in Eden up to the sin, man's sin. And man didn't have to do too much except to enjoy it. There were no weeds or anything at that point. Genesis 46, you'll see the word again, the keeper, the feeder. And you'll pick it up, if I can, in verse 31. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him. Now remember, the Joseph's in Egypt and they're in famine and they're in need. His family is in Palestine. And Joseph said unto his brethren, verse 31, unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, my brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. The men are shepherds. And so Joseph, lets Pharaoh know that they're shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle. Now remember that, and in Egypt, a person was known by their occupation. So a person was born, and whatever they do, if they're a soldier, that's what, a farmer, whatever you were, a cook, you were called that all the way up. You were identified as a person by your occupation. Your occupation is what they labeled you. That's how Pharaoh classified everybody, by their occupation. And so, as you'll see, these men are shepherds. Now, Joseph, you know what's going to happen. He does. And so he clues the Pharaoh in that they're shepherds by trade, for their trade hath been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass that when Pharaoh shall call you, you shall say, what's he going to say? What's Pharaoh going to say? What is your occupation? That's what he wants to know. He doesn't want to know your name. Wants to know, what is your occupation? And you're to tell him, we're shepherds. That's all we are. We're shepherds. We aren't cooks. We aren't a whole lot of things. We're just shepherds. Verse 34, and that you shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle, flocks, herds, from our youth, even until now. That's all we do is take care of animals, both we and our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Now, Joseph knows all that, and so they're shepherds. And the Egyptians, remember the word abomination means it was a religious problem in the first place to them. That for them to kill sheep, as you'll see if we get there, to kill sheep, that would be an offense to the Egyptians, to kill sheep, as the Israelites would do, to sacrifice. And thus that, and they, and their culture, the women and children would take care of animals. They had animals. Pharaoh had his own cattle, etc. But the issue was that men didn't do that. Men were stationary. They didn't wander. Nomads. What do shepherds do? They wander with the sheep wherever they have to go to feed and get water, etc. So the abomination, the Egyptians would be very offended if you had the Israelites living among them, practicing their Judaism, practicing sacrifice, etc. So send them to Goshen. Goshen is the part of Egypt, up in the end of the Nile, going into the Mediterranean, that is pasture, a lot of water from the Nile River, Delta and all that. And Goshen was a land where you could raise animals real easy, comparatively. And that's where they wanted to go, and they singled themselves out, because remember now, it isn't what you, we're going to train you to be something else, no. Whatever you are from birth, that you are the rest of your life, a soldier, whatever you are. And if you're shepherds, then that's what you're going to stay, shepherds. And shepherds have to watch animals. If we're going to do anything with Joseph's family, they're going to have to keep their occupation and go and take care of the animals. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and having that in front of you, over, if you would please, in your Bible, to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. Now remember, the Israelites were shepherds primarily, and that's what they were. And thus they were used to taking care of animals. And so here God shepherd, a feeder, a nourisher, someone to take care of people, provide, protect people. And so in the wilderness, remember, they went into the wilderness And they didn't believe God, as we looked at the other day, Kadesh Barnea. And they ended up spending 40 years for every day the spies went into the land. They were to spend another year, a year, in the wilderness. 40 days, 40 years. And that's what they spent in the wilderness. Now, interestingly enough, verse 33, 14 and 33, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Now remember, Pharaoh wanted them to go into the land. He didn't want them to get out of his sight, out into the land. And they're going to use the argument, Moses is, to say, listen, if we hang around with you, we're going to be an offense to every Egyptian, wherever we are, sacrificing and practicing animals and all that stuff. We're going to go and be an offense as shepherds. And therefore, you don't want to have the Egyptian people in an uproar. So put us all together out someplace away from the people. And thus, you see, God wanted them in the wilderness. God wanted them. That's where he told them to go. Pharaoh wanted them in the land. Now, having said that, and they are to wander, verse 33, and the word wander is to feed, to take care of, to be nourished, to shepherd, depending on how you're using it. Are you using it as someone that's a feeder, to feed, to verb, or a person, the one who feeds, shepherd, or the shepherding of the imp. Take the verb, the noun, what are you going to do? Depends what you're talking about. So here, they're going to wander in the wilderness. Now, what are they going to do? They're going to go, and God is going to go and shepherd them in the wilderness. So for 40 years, they're going to be shepherded. What do you know about the word shepherd and wanderer? What's he going to do for 40 years? Shepherds take care, they protect, they provide for the sheep. So what can I expect from God for 40 years? That he's going to go and take care of them as sheep. They're his sheep, and they're going to all die. Everyone over 20 is going to die, but he's going to take care of the sheep. So for 40 years, he's wonderfully going to care for the sheep. I think that's relevant, and is to me, because you would think God would stop caring, but he doesn't. And when he's doing what he's doing, he's always caring. So in your life, coming and going, ups and downs, and way in, your way out, but God's always a shepherd. God always cares. He never stops caring. He never stops shepherding. How he shepherds, that's different. But the shepherd is on top of the problem, on top of the need to provide, to protect, to outwork that which he's doing. The sheep. Sheep are helpless and hopeless all by themselves. And he'll say it more than once, Old Testament. The sheep need a shepherd. They got to have a shepherd. They'll never make it without a shepherd. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And if I may pick up, please, in thought. Oh, in Psalm 78, verse 52. And he'll pick it up as the history unfolds itself. Psalm 78, verse 52. But made, I'll read verse 51 for context a little, and smote all the firstborn of Egypt, the chief of them, chief of their strength, in the tabernacles of Ham. But made his own people, he made them, to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And remember, wherever the tabernacle, the ark went by day and night, whenever it was moved, they had to move. Whenever God decided to move at 2 o'clock in the morning, and he did sometime, He moved. He trained them to pay attention, to stay with God. When God moves, you move. 2 o'clock, whenever it was, afternoon, evening, night, doesn't make any difference. You move when God does. And God shepherded them. He covered them with a cloud by day, the fire by night, provided shoes, clothes, food, water. He did all of that. They were all dying, many of them. You're all going to die. But God was the shepherd in the whole process. Now, and thus he guided them. Over to Psalm 78, verse 71. And looking at David, he chose David, verse 70, also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. David was a shepherd. He was already into the business of caring for a few sheep. And God usually, historically, that's what he looks for. He looks for a shepherd. He looks for that. When he chooses, does what he does. And that's what the word pastor means, shepherd. Shepherd. And God has to be our shepherd, or we're in trouble. Psalm 78, and in verse 71, and from following David, from following the ewes, great and with young, he brought him to feed, there's your word shepherd, to feed, the verb, feed Jacob. You're going to go from feeding and caring for the sheep, you're going to care for the people of Israel. Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he, God, fed them. There's your verb. He fed them. He cared for them. He shepherded them according to the integrity, wholeness, completeness of his heart. God gives wholehearted commitment. As the shepherd, he's going to care for them with his whole heart. And that's why God looks for what? A response of a wholeheartedness in the whole arrangement. Not partial, not temporal, not convenient. Verse 72, so he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them with the skillfulness, the understanding to know, to understand, with the knowledge of his hands. God did that. God wonderfully went and gave his whole heart and guided them skillfully with great understanding. So he didn't watch. He didn't mess up. He didn't back off. Didn't back down. God was going to keep being God. He's a good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's a good shepherd. He never becomes a bad shepherd. Never becomes an indifferent shepherd. He's always a good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. When does he stop being the shepherd? When does he stop being the Savior? When does he stop being the shepherd? He never does. Is that good to know? Uh-huh. So if we wonder, does Jesus care? Does Jesus know? Does Jesus understand what's going on? I guess so. Now, having said that, and in the light of that, would you go over with me, please? Oh, to Hosea, chapter 12. Hosea, chapter 12. And you want to look at it, as it were. Here, God is shepherding Israel as a nation. He shepherds David as a person. So, Hosea chapter 12, picking up in verse 1. Ephraim, that's a name for the 10 tribes of Israel in the north. Ephraim feedeth, there's your word, to feed, to shepherd, to take care of, to nourish. What is Ephraim feeding on? It's feeding on wind. And follow after the east wind. He daily increaseth lies and desolation, And they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. And thus Ephraim is looking and for the wrong shepherd, looking to be cared for, taken care of, and to be kept. Instead of looking at the world, Ephraim, you should have been looking to God. Ephraim didn't look to God. And all their priests and all their kings were bad guys. No good guys. No good guys. Well, had a long history comparatively, but no good guys. Thus, God, what are you trying to say then with Hosea to us? Chapter 13, verse 1. When Ephraim spake, trembling, he exalted himself in Israel, but when he offended in Baal, he died. And now, verse 2, 13, 2, and now they sin more and more, and have made them golden images of their silver, and idols according to their own understanding, all of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. Let's get into a ritual, a rigorous ritual, maneuvering, religious, with our idols. Let's adore them. Let's have affection for them. Let's worship them, etc. Now, chapter 13 and in verse 4. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. I didn't stop being God just because you're doing what you're doing. It's a mess what you're doing. But I'm not less God. And I'm not less a shepherd. Not less. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. Thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. I took care of you there, according to their pasture where they were, so were they filled. In other words, they claimed everything that was happening to be their own doing, their own. They deserved it all, they merited it all, they should have it all. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, they were filled, they were filled. You know, God gave them their request and sent leanness into their soul. They wanted it, but God gave it to them. They didn't say, God, you do what you know is right. No, they wanted something, and they wanted it with great gusto. Remember Psalm 78, can God do, give us a table in the wilderness? That was their cry. Can God do that? Yes, he can. And they challenged God. They tested God. They rebuked God. They made little of God. And God went, and gave them all of that. It was their own pasture. That's what they wanted. And God allowed them to have it. And thus, verse 6, according to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore they have forgotten me. Therefore will I be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, cubs, and will rent the caul, that's the pericardium around your heart, the fat, the membrane that goes around your heart. And I will rent the caul of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion, and the wild beast shall tear them. I'm a shepherd. I didn't cease being a shepherd. But you are going to find me. What kind of a shepherd am I with my rod and my staff? I'm going to be like a lion and a bear. That's how you're going to find me. You're going to find me like that. I'm still your shepherd. I'm still the shepherd. But boy, the shepherd's angry. And rightly so. Rightly so. Now, God, did you go away? No. But you're exercising your wonderful caring, right, by shepherding. And I'm telling you how I'm going to do it. Thus, verse 9, Israel, why are you doing it, God? To awaken them. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. You did it all by your lonesome. I didn't do it, said God. You thought it, you wanted it, you desired it, you lived for it, you practiced it, you got what you wanted. You did it all by your little lonesome. Don't blame anybody else. Ah. O Israel, verse 9, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me, the only God, the only Savior, is thine help. I am the solution, which you've left out. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all of thy cities? And thy judges, of whom thou sayest, give me a king and princes. And he said, make us a king like everybody else. Remember 1 Samuel chapter 8 and that. Give us a king. All right. And verse 11 tells you how, apart from the context back there, I gave thee a king in mine anger. I don't want something, God, to you do it because you're mad. I don't want you to give it to me. I don't want you to do it, God. I don't want to pester you. I don't want to make it such that you have to give me something that you don't want to give, and you aren't giving it in your pleasure. God, if you give it in your anger, I don't want it. And took away, I gave him, and I took him away in my wrath. I gave him in my anger, and I took him away in my wrath. So before you start, people do, you know, God is indifferent and doesn't care. Hold it. Take another look at history. The terribleness of history. The 1040 window over there from North Africa all the way over to the other side of the Philippines, greatest population in the world. Heathen. By that I mean, that isn't Christian. Nothing. No, God, you, the world got what it asked for. How come the famines and the problems? God has, their world is reaping what it asked for. Wonder where it happened. Why did it happen? Well, all you do is look at history a little more, and you'll see why. And there is a God. If there is no God, then it's all emotional, all evolution and accident. And that, of course, is not true, because if evolution were true, then all humans, I think they're probably so far, humans think they're the best thing of all evolution, true. You think we're better than rhinoceroses and bumblebees, don't you? All humans think they're better. Don't they think humans were the best thing that ever happened to evolution? Now, where do humans go after being human? Evolving to what? What do I do next? Ah, there is no next. And we can't find a next. So being a human based on evolution is terrible. It's terrible. It's crazy. Wow. I'm not going to be an evolutionist. That doesn't work. God did what he did, does what he does, in a most wonderful way. Amos chapter 3. Why did you do this to Israel? Here's the rest of the world out there, coming and going. But you aren't shepherding them. No, you're conscious of them in your sovereign management of everything, true. But I'm not shepherding them like you. Now, why did you pick on Israel and do all of that, a lion and a bear and everything in Israel, and you loved them and you cared for them and you watched them in thick and thin, and when they went down, you put your hand down and put your foot on top of them, as it were, and crushed them. Chapter 3 of Amos, verse 2. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. You see? Can two walk together, verse 3, except they be agreed? They must be in agreement. You can't walk together. You can't work together. You can't go together unless you're on the same page. You got to have the same page, God said. And don't you see, I saved you and gave you the privilege of knowing me, God said. And therefore, when you throw that aside, you of all people are going to get it. There's all the people that are bad, that's right. But you especially because you knew better. That's why when you read in Romans, etc., to the Jew first, and you hear it sometime, judgment begins with the Jew first, and then the Jew knew. And then it comes to the believers in the New Testament. And if judgment first begin at the house of God, what shall it be for them after that? Because you knew better. You knew better. And you let it all go. Huh. Now, having said that, over to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Remember, 40 on is looking into helping all of Israel through the rest of the days until he comes. And helping us believers to boot, Gentiles, believers. Church age, everybody, Isaiah 40 to 66, great encouragement in the light of Israel's departure and captivity. Thus, Isaiah chapter 40, picking up, please, if I can, in Isaiah 40 and verse 9. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Great encouragement. That's right. Behold, verse 10, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall, verse 11, he shall feed, there's your word, he shall feed his flock, there's your word, the verb, feed his flock, like a shepherd, there's the noun. You got a verb and a noun. Shepherd, feeding shepherd. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. God, are you a wonderful shepherd? You caring, taking care of your people in a most wonderful way. God, you are the shepherd. That's right. And you, not only are you going to be the shepherd, you are the shepherd in the process of all Israel now over there with all of their different needs and problems that they face over there in the land of Israel. And they're over there. But God, can we pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Sure we can. There can be no peace till the Prince of Peace comes, till you come, Lord. That's true. So God, we're looking to you. Are you caring for Israel? You bet. How did Israel ever get through Six-Day Wars and all the other wars? How did they ever survive? How did they ever make it? Odds are totally against them. They kept making it and making it and making it and making it. Everything's against them. But they went and made it. How do they ever do it? Wow. God, are you around? Uh-huh. I am. How can you be in the desert in the right place in the right spot to do the right things? How can you have the planes in the right place in the air? How can you do all this? God said, I can do it very well. Very well. I'm a shepherd of the sheep. They're my people. I shepherd them even in their unbelief. Now, having said that, in the light of Isaiah 40, now, and remember we said, tried to say, to remind yourself that no matter whether the sheep were enjoying pastures of tender green and still waters, no matter what, they were watched, cared for, kept by the shepherd. And the shepherd was caring for them. He loved them. He loved the sheep and gave himself for them. And the sheep know his voice. And now they needed to know his voice, but they didn't pay attention to him. They forgot him. And God was going to care for them anyway. That's what God was going to do. God was going to care. Now, in the light of that, God, when you encourage Israel then, Isaiah 40, all the way to today, into the tribulation. God, here we are to encourage us. Your shepherd, you're going to shepherd. You just remind him that you're going to go. Verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. God, you're going to do that. Uh-huh, I'm doing it. I'm going to care for them. I'm going to care. Are you caring? God, what did you tell us? That you're the good shepherd. You're our good shepherd. You're the great shepherd. You're the chief shepherd. That's right. You're everything. That's right. He said, I am to you. See, my sheep know my voice. They follow me. Aha. Uh-huh. So God, where are we in all this? In the light of coming and going and hard things and hard to stay with it and all of that stuff. Wow. Now, just to get a little encouraged, God, what are you trying to tell him? In the light of that context, would you please note verse 6. Isaiah 40, verse 6. Speaking of John the Baptist, cry and said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness of thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord droweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of the God, word of our God shall stand forever. Everything's going to disappear, God. Everything we got, everything we think we've got. We really don't have it all. We have you and the word, your word. But everything else is very, very fragile. Very fragile for sheep. Sheep need the shepherd, God. That's right. And thus, God, that means that we should understand, God, do you understand that we are frail, faulty, fragile? Do you understand, God, that we're as grass, that withers and fades away? God said, I do. Are you willing to shepherd us like that? Uh-huh. I already know you. The good shepherd knoweth the sheep. So I am encouraged, but what? That God, no matter in all my weakness and all my faults and all my failure, God, but you are the good shepherd. And you are in the business of feeding, caring for, protecting, providing for the outworking of your goodwill. That's right. Now, over if you would. Oh, verse 15, again. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as a small dust in the balance on the scales. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. Verse 17, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. So all the nations of the world, with all the powers and all their maneuvers in Korea and North Korea and China and Russia and Afghanistan and Iraq and everywhere else, God, wow, there is a drop of a bucket in a bucket. They are as nothing. So God, are you able to shepherd us? We live in this world, and we are definitely influenced and affected by this world. Every day. Wow, what's going to happen, God? How's it going to happen? God just said, listen, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd feedeth the sheep. I know. And I want you to not worry about the big picture. Now, I didn't say your local town or your local neighborhood. I gave you the whole world. I gave you all the nations of the world. There is nothing. So what are you going to worry about? That I can't take care of them? They are nothing to me. They are vanity. I'm able to take care of them like nothing. So when you've got these big global problems and these big problems in your life, God said, listen, if you take the biggest picture you can, which are all the nations of the world, which is under the god of this world, Satan himself, I want you to know they are nothing. Absolutely nothing, nothing. Verse 25. And you'll notice, please, to whom then will you liken me, Shall I be equal? Shall I be equal? To whom? God, who are you going to liken? That's why idols and images and all kinds of dreamy, dreamt up imagination about God is like. God is like God. And all you can do is allow God to be who he is and unfold who he is to you. That's all he can do. That's what we're doing with the names of God. I'm not, how could I have a shepherd? God, you're the shepherd. And if I'm going to understand you, I'm going to have to allow you to express your word and help me understand what you are. You are the shepherd. And that's how I'm going to understand you. A shepherd of the sheep. Now, and thus, God, you aren't equal to anybody. There's no one. No one, nothing, anywhere, anyhow. You are above, beyond, outside of it all. Thus, verse 26, to be encouraged. You want to get bigger than the globe? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host, the stars, by number. What are the 7 billions, 100, I don't know how many, I forgot how many, it doesn't matter. A lot, billions and billions of galaxies, and they haven't even figured them out because we don't have a way to know, to extend the extent of finite creation. We don't have a way to do it. So we have billions of galaxies. And God said, you know, and billions of galaxies have trillions and trillions and trillions of stars. And wow. And trillions and trillions of stars, a trillion and trillion light years apart. And it's all there. It's a little bit I made out there for you. Now, and lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and not one faileth. Everything is in order out there in all the universe with all the stars and all the galaxies, and they're all in order. And if you put a name in them, and God could, I could give you a name. I couldn't think of a million names, let alone trillion names. I couldn't do it. I couldn't think of a trillion designs for snow. They're all different. How do you do that? It's big. That's right. God said, listen, I told you I'm a shepherd, and you need to learn to trust me. And I take care. I'm on top of it. And it isn't account of your, don't want to look at yourself because you aren't, I understand what you are, grass. You're human dust that can trust me for deity, trust God, and have dust in deity, and deity in dust, and have a unique creation to be able to know the living and only God. And I take care of all the nations and all the big world problems that you're in the middle of. And I take care of all the stars beyond all of everything out there. I know them all by name. They all do what they do. Thousands of miles an hour spinning around, all of them out there in order. Wow. God said, I know all that. They're all I know. I have it all. I do. Now, in the light of that, verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Now, why, in the light of what we just tried to rehearse, would you say that God doesn't care and God doesn't know? Now, why would you dare say that? And I just reminded you the context. Why would you say that, Israel? What's wrong with you? You see, God isn't there, and there's got no judgment, and nothing's going to get fixed, and nothing's going to get better. Hold it. Verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He doesn't get tired, doesn't go to sleep, he doesn't take a break, ever. God neither slumbers nor sleeps, always watching. And when you and I are worn out and can't think, God does. When you can't, God always can, always. So come the middle of the night, God, you're there. So, verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. God, is that what a shepherd does? Uh-huh. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, trusting in their own efforts and energies and self. But, verse 31, you know, they that wait upon the Lord, holding fast to the Lord, binding themselves around God, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew, exchange their strength. They shall their weakness for his strength, like the Apostle Paul. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God, are you able to do all of that and to help them? Help the people that trust you. God said, I'm not worried about it. Are you worried about global conditions, heavenly conditions, earthly conditions? No, that isn't an issue. What is an issue? Not for me. I take care of my sheep. I take care of my sheep in a most wonderful way. Would you, well, you know, I won't have time to do it. You know the statement, Psalm 23. The Lord is, verse 1. The Lord is what? My shepherd, and just my. There is no is, there is no verb. Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, my shepherd. Lord, my shepherd, the one who feeds. It's a participle. He's busy being who he is on a continued basis. What is he doing? The verb, he's shepherding. Who's shepherding? The shepherd is shepherding. The Lord is my shepherd. And thus the little pronoun at the end of that word, my, M-Y. And he will say it over and over again. Why is my so important? I could say the Lord is the shepherd. Is that correct? Uh-huh. I could say the Lord is the shepherd to Israel. That's correct. I want to say tonight, the Lord is my shepherd. My personal shepherd. My personal shepherd. That's what I want to say. My shepherd. Personal. Couldn't be more personal. My. You're mine. You're mine. You're my witnesses. I am your shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. All we like sheep will go astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. God, you're a wonderful Savior and a wonderful shepherd. You're my shepherd. And tonight, tomorrow, easy, hard work, home, school, are you shepherding, saving me? Uh-huh. Are you shepherding me? Uh-huh. I am. My shepherd. So perhaps you have a particular request as we...